Emergency Board Subcommittee on Human Services, Thursday, November 15th, year 2001, 8:30 a.m., Hearing Room F.
Begin our committee hearing this morning. Welcome this morning to the Human Services Subcommittee on Ways and Means. We will start with Agenda Item 2, Secretary of State, Deschutes County Delinquent Youth Demonstration Project, Kathy Polino and Patty McGuire. Good morning.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Kathy Polino, Director of the Secretary of State Audits Division. As you know, we've returned to this committee. We were here at the September meeting. We're here to ask for a $40,000 appropriation to pay for a portion of the Deschutes County Delinquent Youth Demonstration Project audit. As you'll recall, we were here at the last meeting asking for $250,000 to pay for the full cost of the audit. Chair Winters asked us to go back and have a meeting with all the major stakeholders to discuss possible funding options for this audit. We've done that. We'd like to share with you the results of that meeting and other things that have happened on this audit since the last board meeting. October 19th is when we had this meeting that had at least 20 participants. It was a very popular meeting and a number of people attended. So you know some of the people in attendance. Representatives Westland and Doyle were there. Representative Williams phoned in. He was there by phone. We had Attorney General Myers was there, a number of folks from Department of Justice, folks from the Oregon Youth Authority, Deschutes County, many other juvenile justice professionals, Crime Victims United was there, and we feel at that meeting we got a real good idea of what all the concerns are with regard to this study. We were also able to share with those folks some of the things that have happened as far as our audit and being able to scope the work since the last meeting. I'd like to share that with the committee here. Since the last meeting, we've been able to meet with folks from the University of Oregon who have been studying this issue for a long time. And so we got a good feel for the information that they've gathered and what we'll be able to use as part of the audit work that we're doing. We've also had a chance to go to Deschutes County, tour the facilities, take a look at the information that they have and see what's available for us to do our audit work. We've also had some time to really scope out the work itself and to get a good feel for the objectives and what portion of those objectives we'll be able to pay for with our already established audit assessment and which portion is left unfunded at this point. Just to give you a brief idea of the objectives of the audit, we have two main objectives. A little bit of background, the Deschutes County pilot project was established in 97, and during last session it was extended for two additional years, and with this caveat in the meantime that we come in, do an audit on to give some idea on the success of the program. It's our understanding that there are a number of other counties that want to have a similar pilot project in their counties, so there will need to be some decisions made in the near future on whether this pilot project should be continued in Deschutes County, eliminated or expanded to other counties. Our plans for this audit, there's two main objectives. One is to take a look at youth that have gone through this program, to take a look at what has happened to them since the outcomes of the program, take a look at the services that they've been provided, and have a comparison between that group that went through that system versus if they would have came into the state Oregon Youth Authority system and what would have happened to them through this system. So we're going to have a comparison group, try to put together two groups with similar characteristics. It's going to be very difficult, but we've got our statisticians on staff to go ahead and try to put together those two groups. The second piece of that is to take a look at the cost to provide the services. And we're going to provide a comparison of what it costs to serve these juveniles in Deschutes County, both state funds, local funds, and community resources that were put into that serving those youth versus what would happen at the state level. So we hope to provide a really good comparison on those two groups in both situations, what would have happened if they would have gone to the Deschutes County program versus what would have happened to them if they would have gone through the alternate. After going through and scoping out that work, working with all those parties, what we have left is basically about $40,000 worth of audit work that would be specifically at Deschutes County and the local funds portion of the audit. We've been told that we cannot use our state audit assessments to audit those local funds. We can audit state funds that go to local programs, but not the local funds itself. That's the sticky portion that we're at, and we're looking for some guidance from the committee on where to turn.
Representative Schrader. Could you repeat that? I'm not sure I followed that last.
Sure. Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, the Attorney General has opined that our audit assessments, what we do is we assess state agencies against their state funds to pay for our audits of state government. We are able to follow state dollars to the local counties to see how they're using it. This Senate Bill 384 that requires us to do this audit required us to look at not only the state funds, but also the local funds and other funds used by Deschutes County. And the Department of Justice has opined that we can't use our state assessments to audit local funds. Basically, what we're left with is two options, and Representative Westland and Doyle and Williams at this meeting recommended that we come back to you here today, ask for $40,000 to pay for this portion of the audit. The other option, if we don't get funded, would be for us to go out and do the work and bill the counties for that portion of the work.
Madam Chair, the $40,000 is to audit the state portion of the cost of this program, is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, that would cover the local funds portion the Deschutes County Juvenile Corrections Program. The state portion we can pay for through our state audit assessments, and then also the comparison at the Oregon Youth Authority, looking at their program and their services we can pay for with our already established assessments.
Okay, thank you.
Kathy, could you tell me the difference between the $250,000 amount that was brought before us last time and the $40,000 amount?
Sure. Madam Chair, the audit itself is still going to cost around $200,000. We've had a chance to, again, take a look at information that was out there and find out a way to scope it. We're estimating at this point we have about four staff that will be working on this for a six-month period, and that calculates out to about $200,000. So we've been able to scope it down a little bit, but this is a very large, one of the most difficult parts of this is we're going to have to take a look at this group of juveniles that have gone through these programs and then find out what happened to them after they left. And it's very difficult to do and to track them down. So what a lot of the audit work is going to be doing, kind of investigation work, trying to find out, have they gone back to school? Have they gotten jobs? Have they returned to criminal behavior? And we'll be looking at those youth and going through. The other difficult piece of it is going to be that cost piece and getting an idea of what it costs to serve a juvenile in Deschutes County through this program versus what it costs to send someone to the state system. And because you're going to have to take a look at, there's a portion of the cost, the fixed costs and the variable costs that we're going to need to work through. And again, the other piece of this is there is that time deadline is we have to have this done by June 30th of next year, according to statute. So we need to get really rolling on this pretty soon. And so our estimate is four staff for about 6 months.
Madam Chair, Patty McGuire, Deputy Secretary of State. And one of the things that's happened between September and now is we sent staff over to look at the work that the University of Oregon study has been doing. What we didn't know then was whether that data was usable by our auditors. The vast majority of it is, which is providing a significant cost savings because a lot of the raw data has been gathered. We believe it's true, it's accurate, and is usable by our staff, and so we don't need to go do that again. And that was information we didn't have in September that we do have now.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, and is that not information in which part of the money that was originally for the Deschutes County product they have paid for through that program themselves? So that audit was, or that audit by the University of Oregon was paid by the program itself. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. So if I'm to understand this correctly, the $200,000, rough $200,000 cost of the overall project, that's going to be paid for by some of the money that's been used for the University of Oregon study, is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Schrader.
$200,000 on top of the work that's been done by the study.
No, that is The rest of the audit will be paid for by our own other funds, our state audit assessments. We have staff available that are already funded through our state assessments.
I guess I'm getting more concerned instead of less concerned. How much money was spent by the University of Oregon on this project?
Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, I don't know what the amount to date. They have been studying it for a long time, and my understanding is they had a plan to study it for a number of other years. My understanding is the contract has been shortened up, and I think they're supposed to be done by June 30th also.
Madam Chair, originally, when the legislation was introduced, we contracted with the University of Oregon to do the audit study of our program because we wanted a record of how our program was doing. And it was my understanding at that time that it was $150,000 that we allocated out of our program money, out of our savings in the program that we had, to be used to pay the University of Oregon for this. Now, if that's been cut back, I'm not aware of it. I've been gone. I was not able to be at that meeting that you discussed earlier. So if it's cut back, I don't know. But we did allocate $150,000 to University of Oregon. We did contract with them to do that. And I'm glad to hear that a lot of things University of Oregon did has been very helpful to you, because the most we can stop duplication and get the facts and figures. And I had one more question, if I might. You mentioned that you would be doing all the tracking and whatnot that needs to be done, which I think is excellent. They do that in the Youth Challenge program over at Bend, the military program we have. Now, we do the same thing in OYA.
Madam Chair, Senator Clarno, that's our plan, is to find two groups with very similar characteristics and compare.
I mean, currently, we know in OYA wherever youth is that we've had in the system.
Madam Chair, Senator Clarno, I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, it just seems like we ought to. That's a very good process to know where they are, because they do in that military program definitely have the figures on where the youth went and the recidivism rate. And I guess I would just share that if we need to have those figures in the Deschutes County project, which I agree we do, then we also need to be sure that we have those same things in our Oregon Youth Authority program. And that would be a model for any other projects like this that they could use to determine those figures. Thank you.
Mr. McGuire, did you want to make a comment? Okay. Any other?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I just had one other point. We do have other audits of juvenile justice requirements that were in Senate Bill 1 from 1995 a while ago that may also face the same funding crisis in the future. Just to alert you to that, we are currently conducting an audit right now of the juvenile justice information system. And what we hope to get from that audit is an idea of whether the information in the system on the county programs is comparable and reliable. And if that audit turns out that the information is comparable and reliable, we'll be able to gather a lot of this information without a lot of extra costs in the future. On the other hand, if the audit goes the other way and says that the system can't provide that information, then what our plan is to develop kind of a long-range plan, because we'll need to do a lot more auditing out at the counties as opposed to getting it off the system. And so we plan then to come back to the next legislative session with a long-range plan on how to pay for these audits.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Yes, two quick ones. One is, what is the range? The Secretary of State's office does a lot of audits, or at least the audit division. What is the range of cost of the audits that you generally do?
Oh, Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, we have done audits that are as small as $4,000, and we have done, I would say recently, I believe probably the largest was a series of audits we did at the Oregon Department of Transportation, which was, I think, about five audits that totaled about $1 million.
Those are all statewide audits, is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, they varied depending on the objective. Within the Oregon Department of Transportation, there were five different objectives, looking at the transportation infrastructure plan. We looked at local use of funds in one of the audits. They all varied. Senator Yee was very involved in those audits.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Madam Chair. So the local county is collecting data regarding the recidivism of the youth that has gone through the pilot project, whether in their attendance at school, whether they are getting jobs, and whether they have gone back to committing crime again.
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, they are collecting some of that. We hope to get a fuller picture of all that information and what's out there, and especially there's another portion of the audit. It's not just looking at the juvenile themselves, but also the community and the victims themselves and what's happened to them. Because part of this program is looking at both the prevention programs and then also restoring the community after a crime. Mm-hmm. So restitution and other programs.
Mm-hmm.
Senator?
Follow-up comments. So I think it's very important that they set up a system to collect these data. This way we can determine the effectiveness, the cost effectiveness of these programs. So please keep us informed on that, especially on the data collection part.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Senator Yee, I think the other audit on the juvenile justice information system will be helpful in that area, because we're going to be looking at what information is being collected statewide by counties through this system, and will that provide information that you need to make your decisions and information that, that professionals in this area needs to be able to determine the effectiveness of programs.
Any other questions? Ms. Sexton?
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you've noticed in the analysis from the Legislative Fiscal Office, our concern has been with the precedent that would be set by a specific special funding for the Deschutes County audit in the context of the Deschutes County audit taking place under the Senate Bill 1 requirement that the legislature in 2001 pulled out of the list of 36 counties this county project to evaluate for reasons that have been mentioned, that it is a pilot and the efficiencies and effectiveness of the program and the outcomes for the youth and the communities involved are an appropriate examination to determine whether this program is functioning the way it was intended. However, the fiscal office, because of the precedent for general funding of audits that are of local funds, where the program as a state program would have 35 other counties standing in line perhaps for financial assistance if the costs were to be such that they could not handle them, the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending denial of the request. Points have been made by Ms. Polino regarding how the outcome of the Juvenile Justice Information Systems audit may be able to contribute to a lesser cost for future audits, and their suggestion that the outcome of that audit may allow them then to bring forward a long-term plan if the JGIS information is not sufficient to reduce costs of audits, that they would bring forward a long-term plan for looking at the other 35 mandated audits to create the statewide system review that is required by Senate Bill 1, as subsequently amended by Senate Bill 384 last session.
Thank you. Any other comments? Senator Carnell, do I have a motion?
Yes, I have a. I would move that we accept this request for the $40,000.
Senator Clardo moves that we forward this recommendation to the poll committee with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Yes, I have some concerns about this. I really, especially after hearing the total cost here, we're not only have the $200,000 plus or minus and the $40,000, but we've got the $150,000 or so that's put into the basic part of pilot. And by definition, all these pilots that we do a lot of pilots. I think pilots have a serve a very useful function. But by definition, they are supposed to demonstrate an outcome that is better than what we're doing already. So to me, that should be inherent in any bloody pilot project that's out there. So to go ahead and have a special audit and allocate more money for this is absurd. It's a gross maluse, I think, of our precious state resources, especially at this point in time. It doesn't make any sense at all to me. And the idea of the rest of the counties queuing up for the same reasonable benefit, I mean, if I was Clackamas County, I'm going to go home and say, hey, y'all got any pilots? You know, states ready to start paying for these. I mean, this is, I think we're setting a very dangerous, very, very dangerous precedent here. We have to be very, very careful. And I respectfully submit that, you know, I love and respect my colleagues that serve on the substantive committees, but I don't think they understand sometimes how it works when it comes to budgeting. And I doubt that they really knew that it is not the province of the state of Oregon to pay for a local audit. So I guess I have some very, very serious concerns. This may be something I think deserves a fuller discussion, even in maybe the full committee. This is a major issue for the state of Oregon and how this state legislature now and in the future begins to approach these things. I may be willing to vote this out as a courtesy so the full committee can talk about it, but I'm probably going to be a no vote if the full committee. Madam Chair,
I just make the comment that I was out of this process when we developed this program in Deschutes County. And there's a lot of people in Deschutes County that work very hard in this program that believe in it so much to bring our youth home and put them through a 120-day program of education, being taught what they failed to learn in school for whatever reason, working out in the community. I've seen them build Habitat for Humanity houses. We've had meetings where I've sat by some of the kids. One I particularly remember said to me, "I've got to be a success. I'm 19 years old, and I have a little boy, he's 1 year old, and I can't go to jail. I've got to get out and earn a living to help my son. I don't want my son to end up like me." So there's a lot of folks in Deschutes County that have accepted this and already are paying out of the proceeds, because what we do is use the proceeds that we are able to save by having these kids out working in the community and keeping them, getting them to be functional again in the community. They've already used part of those proceeds that would have gone to the Commission on Children and Families to be spent on programs decided by the lay citizens of that board. That money for the $150,000 audit, that's being spent out of the program. So, you know, to have to pay more for another audit is very seemingly unfair to many people in Deschutes County when we're trying to serve children and we're trying to make a difference in juveniles and get them in the community and turn them around. So, if we have to be audited to say that and find out, and we may have some warts, and if we do have some warts, we want to identify them and make sure the program works. And if it works well, there shouldn't be any threat to Oregon Youth Authority or anyone else to have other counties do the same thing.
Thank you. Madam Chair, is the money coming from juvenile justice system, did you say, the $40,000?
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, the $40,000 would be out of the general purpose emergency fund. The audit assessment paid by the Oregon Youth Authority to the Secretary of State's Audits Division will be picking up a portion of the total audit cost. There was also additional data that was available from the University of Oregon study, so that the original estimate from the Secretary of State for the totality of the audit is now netted down to a remainder of $40,000 required to complete the audit, which is what's driving the request for the $40,000 general fund.
Mm-hmm. So the $40,000 is supposed to be paid by county funds, is now going to be paid by emergency general fund. I thought you mentioned it's coming from the juvenile justice system money.
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, there is another audit that was required by another bill of the juvenile justice information system. That is paid for out of a different set of funds, and I think Ms. Polano could tell me what those are. I don't have that information at hand. So in essence, the $40,000 general fund is covering the cost of auditing the Deschutes County local funds.
For the $150,000 with the university is another question, Madam Chair. The $150,000 is paid by the county?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess this is a difficult decision because we don't want to set a precedent of paying for what the county's share of money But on the other hand, this is a pilot project and information other counties can benefit from. So maybe we can go to the general committee with no recommendation. Just let it be discussed at the big committee, big board.
Mr. Dole, do you want to come up and answer and address some of these questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'd just like to take a moment and take people back to 1995, because I think that's where maybe there's a little bit of confusion here. The intro to the juvenile code, which is 419C, calls for audits of every county. This county happens to have a pilot program, but the ultimate goals of these audits is to audit each county's juvenile program. Okay, so you've got two things going on here in essence. You've got a juvenile program in Deschutes County and a pilot project. But when the audits go out to the other programs, it's to audit each individual program as called for in 419C, which was revised, as Kathy said, in the 2001 session, because there was some question about being able to get certain records, certain paperwork, et cetera.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Senator Klarna, would you like your motion to stand as
yes.
it is?
Yes, please.
Okay. The motion on the table is to refer this, your DPAS recommendation, to the full committee?
Yes.
Any no votes?
Courtesy, yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. With that, thank you. All right, let's move on to item 56, Department of Administrative Services grant application implementation. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm John Santa from the Office of Oregon Health Policy and Research, and to my left is Kelly Friels from the Department of Administrative Services. I come before you this morning basically with four requests. The first is to approve an increase in our expenditure limitation by $133,821 as a result of the receipt of a grant from the Health Research and Services Administration. We did notify leadership when we applied for these funds. We did come before this committee in September and make you aware that we had applied, and since September we've received notice that we've received that grant, and we're asking for an increase in our expenditure limitation. Second, in a similar vein, is to ask for an expenditure limitation, increase in our expenditure limitation of $700,000 related to a Robert Wood Johnson grant. And we notified leadership of our application for this grant back in June, actually during the session. And we have since received the grant. Are asking for an increase in our expenditure limitation. The third request relates to an increase in our limitation because these funds can be matched. Since they're related, the Robert Wood Johnson grant is to assist in the preparation and implementation of Medicaid waivers related to the Oregon Health Plan. These dollars can be matched with federal dollars, and as a result of that, we're asking for an increase in our expenditure limitation of $1 million for those waiver related activities. The office's activities are now focused on the waiver and on other activities involving Medicaid related to House Bill 2519 and Senate Bill 819. Those are Medicaid activities, so that general funds that the office has are now related to Medicaid activities and are eligible for match. And so we're asking that we be allowed to send those funds to OMAP, get match, and increase our limitation as a result.
Thank you. Any questions?
One request.
Yeah,
could I get my pack for the waiver committee before the day of the meeting? Is that possible?
And increase our limitation as a result.
Any questions?
One request. Could I get my pack for the waiver committee before the day of the meeting? Is that possible? No, as a late appointee, it's kind of a...
Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, duly noted.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Freeh?
Madam Chair, Kelly Freels, Department of Administrative Services. We are recommending approval of this request. They are asking for $2.2 million of other fund expenditure limitation and $133,821 of federal fund. They're also asking for limited duration positions. They were requesting 3.65 equivalent positions. We modified that slightly down to 3.57 FTE, just for the record, but we are recommending approval of the request.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Legislative Fiscal Office also recommends approval with the slight adjustment for the FTE to 3.57.
Madam Chair, I would move that we accept the request and ask the full committee to approve the request.
Senator Capuano moves that we forward, and LFO recommends that we move the recommended proposal to the full with the due pass recommendation. Any objections? Representative Schrader.
Thank you.
All right. Item number 5, Commission on Children and Families.
This is the order of these things.
I think they try to prove that as much as they can.
Well, based on your schedules. Yeah.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Donna Middleton. I'm the Director of the Commission on Children and Families. And we are here with a request for spending limitation increase in two areas. The first area is a $285,000 other fund expenditure limitation increase for the Children's Ombudsman Program. This program in the 2001 session had some legislation attached to move the ombudsman responsibility out of the State Commission into one of several different areas, and that legislation did not pass. And we were then requested, if in fact that legislation did not pass and we did not get the expenditure limitation to provide this service at the Commission, we were to come to the e-board and ask again for that spending limitation. So we're here today to do that in the amount of $285,000. The second part of our request is an other fund expenditure limitation for $200,000 from the National Crime Prevention Initiative. The State Commission is the lead agency for this initiative. This is a private nonprofit group that is working with us on community comprehensive planning and is providing us with resources to support that effort.
Any questions?
Madam Chair, we are recommending approval of this request.
Thank you. Sheila.
Madam Chair, Legislative Fiscal Office also recommends approval of the request in terms of the Children's Ombudsman. That is something that we anticipated during the session, that if the bills didn't pass, that the agency would be back in for expenditure limitation. And I would note on the second part of that, the National Crime Prevention Council grant, that is an other funds grant, and so the agency did not come in for specific application approval. They're not required to do so, but they do need the limitation to expend that.
Representative Schrader.
I move we approve the request.
Representative Schrader moves that we approve the request. Any objection? None? Representative, you want to carry that?
Yep.
All right, Department of Human Services, $19,999,2001 budget closeout.
Madam Chair, somewhere is my boss out in the hall. If one of my colleagues can go get him, it would be helpful.
That's a hint.
Madam Chair, we have a number of issues in front of you today, as the agenda shows, starting off with the last biennium. And I have a handout here for that, which I'll make sure you all get.
Morning.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Bob Mink, Director of the Department of Human Services. It's really good to be here. It was a, you know, it was 1 month ago today I was wheeled into surgery for a pituitary tumor, and I just thank God I'm back, you know, within a month, and I've been working part time, just got back to full time. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm just a little tired, but. So what we have for you today, we have 13 items before you, and I'm going to rely on staff to do most of the work. I'll be doing the report on the reorg, but Doug and members of the cabinet will be doing the work. And all the members of the cabinet are here except for Barry Cast. And he's at a very important meeting with governor, staff, and legislators about bioterrorism in New York. And we need him there for that. So Margie Johnson, will, his deputy for the health services part of the new organization helping us with that. And so with that introduction, I'll let Doug go ahead with the first item.
Okay, thank you. For the record, Doug Wilson, Assistant Director of the Department of Human Services for Finance and Policy Analysis. This is the final action for the legislature to take on the 9901 budget. We always come back at one of the first e-boards to close out basically the books and make sure we're in the right position so the books are closed. The big thing in this closeout is actually we've set it up so we can move forward about $5 million into the next biennium to address issues in the next biennium, and I can talk about that here as well as in when we have a report on the rebalance of the 0103 budget. Let me go through these relatively fast in terms of the items here. In the Children's, Adults, and Families group, in the old Adult and Family Services area, the first item for about for $6.7 million of federal funds. This is just a correction. In a previous e-board, the DAS or the motion to the committee mistakenly reduced federal funds limitation for a non-limited spending, and we just need to catch up so we have enough federal limitation. They reduced it for the food stamp program, which is a non-limited, there is no expenditure limitation. So this is a housekeeping issue. The next item is the Jobs Plus program. There are two components of the Jobs Plus program. There's the program we operate for our clients in the division formerly known as AFS, dealing with public assistance clients, TANF, food stamp. Then there is the component of the program, which is funded out of the funds out of the unemployment insurance program that the employment department funds. We are the mechanism to get the money out to the employers. They send us money. And on our projections you presented during session, we did not have enough expenditure limitation for that portion of the program. That's what we're requesting, is $1.3 million worth of expenditure limitation to handle their caseload of that program. So this is the Jobs Plus program for the Employment Department. And then the final item under Adult and Family Services, this is part of the carry forward, and this is going to get a little complicated, and it's going to maybe hard to explain, but I'll try. I practiced on Senator Yee yesterday, so hopefully hopefully that helps out.
I know she's not here.
Yeah. Title 20, maybe that is. Title 20 is a Social Services Block Grant. We get funding from the federal government. A significant amount of federal funds comes into our department, and we use it for child welfare and the employment-related daycare program. We are not spending all that we anticipated to spend, making available for use in the next biennium. In AFS, that's just under $1 million, $860,000. And in SCF, which has the bulk of the Title 20 money, it's just a bit over $3 million. What we need to do, when you factor in maintenance of effort for TANF and the inability to carry forward general funds within the department, we do a little bookkeeping here to make sure we have those funds available to us next biennium to address issues. And what we do is we will take that Title 20 funds in each of those divisions and spend it, which frees up general fund. We transfer the general fund to OMAP and replace that, using that general fund to replace tobacco tax revenues, which then we can carry forward in the next biennium. The reason it's that complicated is around the maintenance of effort for TANF. If we free up general fund or use it to free up general fund in AFS or SCF, we have more flexibility in 9901 around our maintenance of effort requirements than we do in 0103. We are very near the line in 0103, and we have quite a bit of room in 9901 to meet our maintenance of effort. So that's the fancy bookkeeping, if you say. That's why we've done it this way. The end result is the excess federal funds allow us to push forward about, in this case, $4 million of funds into the next biennium to use to address issues there that will be, I'll report on in the, you know, amending or upcoming agenda item on the rebalance. That same issue is under services to children and families. So those are the same two issues. Under seniors and persons with disabilities, toward the bottom of the first page there, our caseloads and cost per case are up slightly in this relatively our second largest program, the long-term care system, in the division formerly known as SDSD. The details are there. Nursing facility caseloads are down. Substitute home cases are down a bit, but cost per cases for both of those are up. The net result of the entire system is $860,000 increase that we need. But we have funds elsewhere in this closeout plan to cover that. Cash assistance grants, general assistance, and the Oregon Supplemental Income Program, or OSIP, those programs are up slightly than what we forecasted during session by $500,000. If you turn the page over, continuing in SDSD, we need additional limitation for matching increased local expenditures by area agencies on aging. These are not part of our long-term care program. These are local funds that they raise or generate locally. We're able to match that through the Medicaid program, and then we send the total back to the local area, and they use it for the various functions they have surrounding their responsibilities under the Older Americans Act. And it's really just a mechanism to make more funds available through the matching process. So they, in this case, are sending us $2.3 million. We match that with $4.7 million and return the full $7 million back to them. We also need additional federal funds limitation to fully account for the Older Americans Act money we received in 9901. We're asking for an additional limitation there of $3 million. We have that revenue in hand. We just need the limitation to make sure we can spend it all. Finally, in health services under the Oregon Health Plan, we have just under $1.3 million general fund savings. Keep in mind, this is a $2 billion program. In terms of total funds, so this is a relatively small amount of money to end the biennium on, but we have increased revenues to offset the need for general fund through the premiums and drug rebates. We have some increased fee-for-service costs, and then we have some accounting adjustments in the Medicare buy-in program, which is a non-OHP program, and the net result of that is about $1.3 million worth of savings. In addition, we have savings of about $730,000 in our DSERS. This is an information systems project we've had under development. We haven't spent all the funds for that program that we had planned to in 9901, and that frees up a little bit of general fund. Then the next item is related to the complicated issue I talked about first. Here's what's happening on the OMAP side. That general fund comes into OMAP. We use it, spend it as general fund, the $3.88 million, and then we offset the need for tobacco tax revenue, which is then moved into the next biennium. And finally, on a related issue, all the remaining general fund that we have on the bottom line, after we do all the adjustments for this closeout, which is a little over $1 million, we do the same thing. We use it as general fund and carry the tobacco tax forward into the next biennium. Then that will be available to you to deal with a 103 issues, of which there are a number of them, not only within us, with other folks. So that is a summary of the closeout, Madam Chair.
Any questions for Mr. Wilson?
Nice job.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm George Naughton with the Department of Administrative Services. Since the time this letter came in, there was one technical adjustment in that we had to increase the amount of federal funds and reduce the amount of other funds for this request. What has happened with that is that it has made that the amount that we need for federal fund limitations increased. The net position of the Department on other funds is they actually need less than what we originally thought they would need. There are two approaches to deal with this. The approach that we have taken is to reduce the other fund limitation and unschedule it. The other option you can do is you can look at that, increase the federal funds as we need it, and just ignore the reductions in other funds since we're at the end of the biennium anyway. With that said, our recommendation is to modify the request to transfer general fund appropriations, increase the net federal funds expenditure limitation by $7.3 million, unschedule a net other funds expenditure limitation of $4.3 million to close out the Department of Human Services budget for this biennium.
Any questions? Ms. Baker.
Thank you. To carry on the other alternative, which Mr. Naughton identified, the legislative fiscal office recommendation is to do something other than the budget and management recommendation. We as well would approve the general fund transfers that were presented. Because the emergency board doesn't have authority per se to reduce other and federal funds, and because it is the end of the biennium, and although normally in a rebalance we would ask that you ask Department of Administrative Services to unschedule other and federal fund instead of reducing it, at this point, because it is the end of the biennium, we felt that was not an exercise we needed to go through. And so our recommendation, although we recommend acknowledging the other funds and federal funds reductions as shown in our analysis in the chart on the bottom of that page, in terms of the actual statutory changes to appropriations, we would recommend the actions on the attachment, which is, again, to approve the general fund transfers between the divisions and program offices, and then add limitation as needed for other and federal funds. But basically recognize that where there are reductions in other and federal funds, they will just have excess limitation, and it's the end of the biennium, so it's not really an issue. So that summarizes our recommendation. I would make a note, in addition to the $5 million in tobacco tax savings that the department identified as being carried forward, there's also as part of this closeout plan, there's an additional $2 million in child support revenues and $4.8 million more in temporary assistance to needy family revenues that have been identified as being available to carry forward. So there's a total of $11.8 million that's moving forward and will be available for 2001-2003. And as Mr. Wilson said, there will be further discussion of that when you get to the rebalance report, but that is a significant chunk of change moving forward that hadn't been identified earlier on.
Any questions? Do you have a motion?
Yeah.
Representative
Schrader. Chair, for no particular reason, I guess I'll move the LFO recommendation as opposed to the DAS recommendation, since both accomplish the same objective, and that would be to approve the general fund transfers and add limitation for the other fund and federal limitations.
Thank you. Any objections? Thank you. Okay, moving on
carry.
I'll carry it.
Okay. Thank you.
Item 16, mental health system planning. Good morning.
Good Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Margie Johnson, and I am the Deputy Assistant Director for Health Services with the department. During the last interim, the governor established a mental health realignment work group, which was charged with the goal of looking at the mental health system across the whole state in a very comprehensive and planful manner. The task force was formed. It involved about 50 people. They met over the course of about a year during the interim, and the result of their work was a comprehensive report that was delivered to the governor in January of 2001. With a number of recommendations about the scope and the issues that confronted our mental health system in the state. The first and most important recommendation was that the state do a comprehensive plan process that would be managed at the county level, that would reflect a very comprehensive look at the system and what the system's needs were. The result of that recommendation was the passage of House Bill 3024 by the last session of the legislature, which established this planning process and put into statute a number of criteria that these plans needed to address. In recognition of the comprehensiveness of this process, the legislature also passed House Bill 5014, which included an appropriation that was a special purpose appropriation of the emergency fund of $7.5 million. $1 million of that appropriation was for the purpose of funding that planning process at the county level. The $6.5 million remaining million was available to fund services that would be identified as a result of those plans and would be available to counties in the final year, in the 2002-03 year of the biennium, for a beginning funding of the services that were identified as a part of the planning process. Staff from our agency have been meeting with folks from the counties, from the Association of Community Mental Health Program Directors, and have reached agreement on a allocation methodology for that $1 million, which you see in the letter. We have distributed the guidelines for these plans that are to be produced by March 1st of 2002. Those went to the counties about a week ago. We've tried to focus the emphasis that we are requiring the counties to report on into four main areas, and those areas are consumer-centered community-based services, consumer-centered intensive services, and suicide prevention activities, as well as juvenile and adult corrections. We've done this in an effort to try to simplify as much as possible what will still be quite a comprehensive planning process. So I am here today to request that you release the $1 million and make it available for the department to distribute to the counties to augment their planning efforts at the local level.
Any questions?
Madam Chair, George Naughton with the AS. We recognize the importance of this request, but in light of the economic situation for the state, we're recommending that you defer it until the development of a statewide rebalance plan.
Any questions? Ms. Baker?
Thank you. Legislative Fiscal Office also recommends deferral for the same reasons, to give time to develop a picture of where we are on the statewide budget and what the plans to deal with that budget situation will be. I would note that by not funding it now, it will make it difficult, if not impossible, for some counties to meet that March 1st deadline. The emergency board doesn't have the authority to change that deadline in statute, but I think it's appropriate to put on the record that deadline could be in jeopardy by deferring this. Nonetheless, we think that because this is a new initiative and new funding, that given the circumstances, it's best to defer it at this point.
Just a question, is it possible for the counties, is this the only resource they have to go forward with the study, or is it possible that they could do a fund shift? And hopefully when we revisit this, if we are able to allocate the funds, that would they be able to go forward with this? Probably depending on which county. But.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I would say it would probably vary from county to county, and it would probably depend on the level of certainty that counties might look for in terms of whether the money would eventually come or not.
Would you like to respond to that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The counties are very concerned about their ability to proceed with this planning process in the comprehensive nature that's required by the bill. And I know that they have, their position would be that at least if the emergency board feels that it needs to defer the release of these funds, that they would need an indication that that there would be some flexibility in the timelines that are required by the statute. March 1st is not that far away, and I think they would recommend and request that there be a deferral till perhaps June of 2002.
And as you know, we can't do that.
Right.
As the board, as much as we'd like to. This is an important program, and I think its goals are laudable. And unfortunately, when this bill was passed, we were unaware that we were going to be faced with restraints we're currently operating under. Our hope is to defer this. We certainly don't want to deny the funds, but defer it, and perhaps in January we'll have an opportunity to have a better picture of what we're faced with and be able to make some decisions at that point. Representative Schrader.
Just a further comment. Chair is absolutely correct. We can't set a specific date, but I'm willing to go on record as a legislator that understands that when you do have a budget shortfall, the Attorney General, or excuse me, the Legislative Fiscal Office, or excuse me, the Ledge Council Office has given us an opinion that, you know, we are able to maybe defer certain requests, and I think along with that goes an implicit understanding on our part that June would seem to be a reasonable alternative. Should that be the best that the counties can do if we're unable to approve the money at this particular point in time? It is very important. I know during session when I was on the committee that there was a lot of discussion about the accountability of counties' efforts and this and that. Well, they can't very well be accountable if we don't give them the money to do the planning and set the standards that we're asking them to do. So I for one, think this is extremely important expenditure and like to see us go forward, hopefully at the January special session, whenever that might occur.
Madam Chair, I would just like to see us make a point to the committee that received the report or where the information is supposed to be given March 1st, that LFO, DAS, let legislators know that this is not something that emergency board could change, but it's certainly something that we have interrupted with the current budget thing. And I guess I just, as a rural plug, I keep thinking of, even though I don't represent them, but counties like Gila County that have already been broke financially for years, huge, huge impact to participate in something like this. And it's unfortunate that we do need the information, but I hope all legislators will be patient and understanding that we defer this, we complicate the ability for them to do what we've asked them to do.
Do I have a motion?
I will move that we accept the LFO recommendation.
Senator Cardinal moves that we accept the LFO recommendation. Any objection?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry I was out of the room testifying on another request. But are we still asking the county to go ahead with the planning and delay the date without funding?
We don't have the ability in the e-board to delay the date, and we're deferring the funding. So. It puts them in a very difficult position. Shirley, do you want to respond?
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, Senator Yee, our recommendation is just to defer the funding, recognizing that, you know, the statutory requirement is still there. Counties may be able to go ahead at some level and do some of this work, and I believe that the emergency board can encourage them to do that, but also recognizing the reality that Many counties don't have the resources without additional funding to do that. So the date is not postponed, but the money is deferred. Madam Chair, Senator, we discussed the fact that the date is set in statute and that the emergency board does not have authority to change that at this time. So we are encouraging the counties to do what they can in planning.
That's right.
And still meet the deadline.
Well, and that will be easier for some than others, Senator, to do that. So I think we need to have our expectations accordingly. You know, they don't have the resources. You know, we need to try to work with them to the extent that is possible under the law. And hopefully in January, you know, we will have a better idea of what.
And met the October 1st deadline. It's a grant from the Health Resources and Services Administration of DHHS, and it's called Healthy Tomorrow's Partnerships for Children. The purpose of this grant is to address the problem of the isolation of child care providers and also for their help to find a way to help them in accessing physical health services and necessary contacts in primary care and behavioral care and mental health care. The goal would be to establish a child care health coordinator in three counties on a pilot basis. This would be coordinated at the state level by the Office of Family Health with cooperation at the local level with the community child care resource and referral programs. The criteria for the selection of the sites would be the level of community interest in the program, additional local funds that might be available in the future, and looking at communities who serve children and families with historic healthcare access problems and barriers, especially low-income families. The request is to apply for the first year of the grant, which would make $50,000 available to meet these goals. Years 2 through 5 do require a matching effort by the state of twice the federal amount. So for those 4 subsequent years, $100,000 each year would need to be made available for the grant to be able to be successfully continued. The project period would be from March of 2002 through February of 2007 if we are successful in having local in-kind or other local kinds of resources made available to continue the project.
Question? Just a quick comment. The future match, it's not a lot of money, and I would hope that the pilot would show better results or improvements to what we're already doing now, and that would be documented and make it easy for us to go ahead with the match in the future.
Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, that is a component of the grant application.
Any other questions?
Madam Chair, we're recommending that you approve this request.
LFO also recommends approval.
You have a motion? Senator Yeh.
I move.
Thank you.
There's two. Did we hear both of the proposals, or we don't need perhaps to go into any detail on the second one, eh?
Well, there are actually three other grants.
Sorry. Go ahead, let's go to the second one.
The second grant that we're asking permission to apply for is a $20,000 grant that would be available to the state from the Centers for Disease Control for assistance in funding our next annual Oregon Multicultural Health Conference, which would take place this year. The application is due on December the 12th, and we would propose using this funding to help the planning for the conference, as well as to provide scholarships for folks who couldn't otherwise afford to attend.
Any questions? You want to go ahead and address the third one, and then there'll just be one.
The third grant that we're asking permission to apply for is a $50,000 one-year grant that's available from the Environmental Protection Agency to begin a process of developing procedures and protocols for monitoring recreation and beach waters in the state. This would allow us to develop standards that we could work with local coastal communities to use in monitoring beach waters, and also processes and procedures for notification of governments, local governments, and citizens of the results of those testing. It's a grant that we will implement in consultation with the Department of Environmental Quality, which is also involved in the grant proposal.
Any questions? Now, would you like to give your recommendation for all three?
Madam Chair, we're recommending that you approve this request, all four of the grants total.
I hate to tell you, there's another one.
Another one. I'm sorry.
We did try to consolidate all of these, but it is. The fourth and last is a request for substance abuse and treatment grants that would be available from the Center for Substance Abuse Treatment of in DHHS. It's actually three separate grants that would enable us to go in some detail and analyze data that has already been collected as part of the Portland Target Cities Project. And the several components of that would be to analyze whether wraparound or auxiliary services that are made available to people who are in substance abuse treatment or were in substance abuse treatment between the years of 1993 and 1998, whether there was any impact as a result of the transfer from a fee-for-service program to a capitated program. And that would be the basic underlying question that would target several different areas of services that were provided to folks in the Portland area. It would also look at the cost benefit of those of the services, and it would look at outcomes. It will enable us to look in a much more detailed way, systematically, at data that's already available that was collected as a part of those Target Cities pilot programs.
I'm sure.
We've had all the recommendations except for LFOs, and I'll move approval.
Thank you. We recommend approval of all of them.
So move, Madam Chair.
Representative Schrader moves approval of the grant request. Any objection? None? Thank you.
Item number 8.
Carried. Reorganization.
Representative Schrader.
Good.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm back. I'm Bob Mink, director of the department. With me is Lenny Bjornson, who is our assistant director for continuous service improvement. And I want to talk to you about the reorganization. You're going to be getting two documents. One's a small notebook like this, which will show you the new organization within the department and give you some names and positions and talk to you about accomplishments thus far in the different parts of the organization. The second piece of information you're going to get, which Mr. Bjornson was really enmeshed in, is something called DHS Performance Measurements Report. Now remember, I told you we're going to become an outcome-based organization, and this is the first iteration of that. Now I'll talk about this in a minute. This thing isn't perfect, and we want your input on it. This is a first shot out of the closet with this, and we need some help about how to make it better. But we'll talk about that in just a second. As a preliminary to getting into these documents a little bit, I'd just like to talk to you about the progress on the reorganization. We've been working hard on this throughout the legislative session. When we worked on the bill, we were planning for it then, and we really hit the ground running at the end of session, and I'm really happy with the progress we made. Now, we've got a long ways to go, and you're going to hear things from your constituents about the things they don't like about the reorganization. I'll tell you that right now. People are going to talk to you about they don't like it. Some people. You're going to hear from other people that they really do like it, but I want to tell you we've made good progress, and there's three significant things that have occurred which are fundamentally going to change this organization that I want to talk to you about really, really quickly here. And I've talked to you about it all before, but I just think it's important to reemphasize it. The first significant thing is we now have in place a single field management system. Before we had five, with five lines of control coming back to the director. Now we have one. And we're still going through growing pains to make that work, but we've gone through the process in our field system of abolishing 159 management and administrative positions in the field and reestablishing 119 for a net reduction in the field of 40 managers. And what we have now are 16 areas that we're going to manage from, with 16 major managers there, and they've hired their assistants, the program managers around child welfare, around public welfare, around seniors and people with disabilities, and the like. And those folks are also responsible for coordinating with county mental health and county, the AAAs and the alcohol and drug programs in the county. So we've made that progress. We have people in place, and they're supposed to be talking with county commissioners. I hope they've talked with you. If they haven't, I need to hear about it. So I can talk to the field manager sitting right behind me back here. Be talking to local legislators about the issues in your districts and the things that we're striving to do. Now, what these field managers are doing right now is they're bringing the staff together, doing cross training so people understand better what people do in the continuum, and working out systems where when a client comes in the door, if they have multiple needs, we serve them in a more holistic way. So the field managers are working on all of that right now as we speak, and that's happening everywhere in Oregon. And this, I'll tell you, will go faster in some places than it will in others, just because of the nature of the people we have in place and the nature of the communities and the openness that communities have for this work. But it's well on its way. The second significant piece in this reorganization is, and I did this right after I was appointed in February while you're still in session, is I appointed a single administrative services person to head up administrative services for the whole department. Now, prior to that, we had six different units of administrative services throughout the department. So each division had a budget office, each division had a personnel office, each division had an information systems, and so on. And we've got that consolidated now. And prior to this biennium, we took $3 million and lots of staff out and trying to point toward that. But we're looking for more efficiencies. As an example of how this may help in communities, we have one contract unit now in our department. It used to be every one of our divisions would have a separate contract with the county. And we're hoping we can get to the point where we have a single contract with the county that incorporates the work that we do. I think that will not only be more efficient for us, but more efficient for our partners in the field, not putting in so much effort around contract administration, as one example. And as part of that administrative services, although it's a different unit, for the first time we have all our budgeters in one spot. Doug Wilson has always been the department's budget director, but the divisions all had their own budget shops and things came through Doug. Well, right now all of those folks work for Doug, and so we're going to have a much easier time balancing our budget, monitoring our budget, and we're going to be able to do it with fewer people, in my opinion. So those are two significant things. And then the third significant thing, and this is kind of, I want this to be the centerpiece of my administration in this department, is that I want us to be more accountable. I want us to be more accountable so that you know what you want us to do, that we can come back to you and say, here's how we've done on these measures that you've assigned for us. And we're working real hard on developing some management tools for me to use, our service delivery areas to use, and our central office managers to use to measure how we're doing on those different outcome measures. And we're getting there. I mean, this is kind of one of the things I just need to emphasize to you is that we're changing 30 years of history and 30 years of behaviors, and we're trying to do it in a short period of time. But the fact that we have this, if somebody would have told me we had this a year ago, I wouldn't think it would be possible. But we have it. And this is something that Lenny worked on, and he worked with people throughout the department and partners about pulling together some information that we want to have about how to manage the department. Now, part of this are things that you've asked us to do, and part of it are things that we want to be able to manage. And there's three large sections about this, but I want Lenny to talk about it briefly, about what the three sections are, the types of data that are in here. And in the back of this, what I want you to know is you have a chance to review this. In the back of this is a feedback form. We're sending this to our community partners and to our employees to give us feedback about whether or not this works or doesn't work. So I would love to get feedback from you. And Senator Yee, I know performance measures are important to you. I'd love to be able to sit down with you and just go through this and to get feedback from each of you about how we can improve this, because I know it's not perfect. But it's a good start, and Lenny deserves a lot of credit getting us there. So let me just turn it over to him for a few minutes.
Thanks, Bob. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Lenny Bjornson, assigned last spring to develop a new group for the department called the Continuous Systems Improvement Group. One of our functions is to look at performance measurement across the department, all 160-some-odd plus programs. We so far have inventoried about 120 different performance measures, or sometimes called outcomes. And this report is a sampler of what's currently available, more so on the results side than it would be perhaps on a more specific level around management information. But nonetheless, this is the first time in the department's history that a group of folks got together, and I used an established committee called the Performance Measures Committee across the department to assemble a picture, an illustration of how we are doing on broad outcomes that we call high-level outcomes, much as the Oregon Progress Board does, all the way through a sampler of program indicators. This book also includes a third section on some contextual measures like poverty, of which the programs the department operates and with its partners, that the poverty status in many counties, how that influences outcomes, high-level outcomes, or program indicators. So you'll see in this sampler, and we'd love to come by and talk with you at your office more about it, for how we paint this picture of results and accountability better each time we do this. This book has three parts. High-level outcomes, where we provide some information about 13 of the 19 high-level outcomes that the cabinet has selected for the department. It provides you some information on 7 contextual measures, and then some information and some charts on 25 different program indicators. We chose these to represent a spectrum of what the department does, to illustrate a more coordinated and integrated department across all that we do. As you can imagine, operating over 160 programs through our own employees or through partnerships with counties and other governments, there's a plethora of data points out there. How we get a handle of that and turn that data into information for decision making is the trick. And so you can see a variety of formats in this booklet, sometimes by county, sometimes by service delivery area. Sometimes we have data that lets us to compare things over time. Sometimes we have data that allows us to compare to a state average. One of the tricks, as you well know, is taking data, comparing it to 3 or 4 other standards, and making it into information that we can use.
Well, if I could just interject, one of the challenges here is that we've never collected information in our department for this purpose. And mostly what we've collected are financial information for the federal government and for you and whatever ad hoc information that you would require. So we're trying to take information that was developed for other purposes and putting it into this context. And so sometimes we're trying to make a round peg fit in a square notch, and it doesn't always work. The other thing I would say about this is when you look at this, we've got statewide averages in here, and what we really need to add, and we will over time, are the targets you set for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's going to be a statewide average gives me an indication of how the SDAs are performing against one another, but we need a statewide target on where we want to be, say, in foster care, or where we want to be in some of these other indicators that we have an impact on. The other thing, and I think Lenny's done a good job of this, is we've included a lot of things in here that we work on, but we don't have a major impact on. I mean, we contribute to helping poverty level, but there's so many other things involved in poverty level that we can't say that us alone, and certainly we can't impact it, but we certainly have a piece of it. And so that's a contextual measure for us. So within the context that we're working, we have a rising poverty rate or a lowering poverty rate. As an example, unemployment rate right now in our state is some of the nation's highest at 6.5%. Now, while we don't have a major impact on that, what you know from that contextual rise in unemployment, the thing that we've noticed over the last month is that food stamps have gone up by 5,000 in a month. And our AFDC cases have gone up by a couple of hundred last month. And that's associated with those contextual measures. So that's why those are important to set the context. But again, I just want to emphasize that there's a lot of work to do on this, and we really want your feedback on it. But I think it's a great start.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I would only conclude with we coordinated with the Oregon Progress Board. We're coordinating with Senate Bill 555 measures. We're taking a look at the Oregon Children's Plan measures, benchmarks. So often the measures, whether it be high-level outcomes or more programmatic activity that we're counting and measuring, is also of concern or interest to other groups across state government and across communities, and we want to make sure that we're synchronized. So please do lend us your eyes, your ears, your good thinking about how we can present this. Imagine a quarterly report, much like corporations do, on results. That is not the same as the week-to-week management information that Bob and Bill and other folks need. So we have to work on both. What I would challenge us all to think about is how do we present broad results of the department working with all its partners, as well as pursue a more detailed management information for day-to-day decision making.
My commitment to you in all of this is once we set targets for these performance measures, I will hold people accountable to achieving them. And I just need for you to recognize is the context of how we do our business within on the unemployment rates and poverty levels change, that maybe we have to move our targets. But I will hold people accountable to the results that we were going to try to achieve as a department. And that's something new that people are getting used to, anticipating the day when we'll be able to do that. It won't be very long as soon as we fine-tune this a little bit more. I'm very happy with the progress we made in the reorganization. One other item that I want to share with you before I just tell you what's in this book is the Department of Administrative Services. I worked with Mike Greenfield there, and we've developed a survey where Mike and his staff are surveying several hundred people in the communities, about 150 of our employees plus other people in communities, about this reorganization, whether they know it's going on, whether they understand it, what their feelings are about it. And I'll be able to share with you next e-board. It's not complete yet. This book here, I just say a few words about this. Now, I've talked to you about the organization before, about what the new organization looks like. But this book here sets out the new organization, talks about what the duties of each part of the organization are, sets out the organizational structure for you with the names of the people responsible who are accountable for the different programs, and gives you progress to date and what they've done in trying to consolidate this department into one department system. So that's what this is. It's an overview of the new organization. And I think you'll see when you come through here, when you go through this, is that there aren't nearly as many boxes to this organization as there used to be. So what we're trying to do in the central offices is bring things of similar nature together so that we work together on them. I think that the licensing and program analysis and the things that happen in the different areas are coming together into more consolidated ways so we can treat our clients similarly. We know, as an example, in senior and people with disabilities, that the long-term care systems for seniors and the long-term care systems for people with disabilities, although they have some difference, have a lot of commonality. And so Lydia Listman, who is in charge of that area, has seen a way to bring those things together so that we have more efficiencies. I mentioned that we eliminated 159 positions and established 119 in the field for a reduction of 40 management and administrative positions. We've done a like thing in the central offices, and we've eliminated 30 positions there. And most of those were vacant and otherwise not being used, but there's no reason to keep them and use them. And so we've taken the money and invested it in other places. Around the reorganization. There's more to come about efficiencies to be had. As I said, you know, after 30 years and we're bringing this together, we had good ideas in the beginning, but as we work in this new organization over the next year or two, we're going to see other things that we're going to be able to do, is my prediction, and you'll be able to see things that you can suggest to us. So I guess I would just open it up for questions, and anything you're interested in about the reorganization, I can talk to you about.
Thank you. Representative Schrader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to comment on, I think this is great. This is really outstanding, and I appreciate the work that both Mr. Bjornson and Mr. Mink and his whole troop are doing. This is exciting, and I think critical to the future of the state of Oregon and the people that need the services that are provided. Two quick comments on the performance report. Just having not seen it before, take it with a grain of salt, and I'd appreciate an opportunity to discuss this with both of you when it's convenient. One would be that I really appreciate the county or the SDA information, if you will. I think that's very, very, very important. Every one of us would like to see that, and provides the counties an idea of how they measure up. We understand that every county's different, so everyone's going to have a different outcome, but it at least gives us that data for the in a clear format. I would also say, though, if it's possible, it might be very beneficial, particularly in light of this last session, to talk about intermediate outcomes.
Yeah.
The high-level outcomes are excellent, but they're long-term going to be tough to get to and reach. And as a legislator, it'd be really helpful, I think, for us when we're trying to make budgetary allocations to relate to some of the intermediate outcomes. We spent a lot of time, Senator Yee and I did, in our committee, and human resources, trying to look at, if we give you X dollars, what can that department hopefully accomplish? And if we don't give you X dollars, what happens? The department needs to tell us that, so we are accountable just as they are accountable. So that's the kind of intermediate between the program indicators and the high-level outcomes. If it's possible, working maybe with some of the things we've suggested last session, things you think might be better into intermediate outcomes, I think that would be very helpful for us in terms of budget and getting us down the road.
Madam Chair and Representative Schrader, I'm sorry I left that out of the presentation. That's our next iteration.
Okay.
And the challenge Lenny has is just trying to line up the data that's available for those. But we had a cabinet discussion, and that's what's missing here.
Okay.
In this thing. And so we will have those next iteration.
Good job.
Madam Chair, I too want to commend the department for this report. I think it's very important as a management tool for the department and for policymakers to see how effective are the programs. And I'm very pleased, as Representative Schrader said, you gave us different counties' information, because different counties have different level of problems. So the state average may look acceptable, but some counties are having some real problems. And I'm glad you gave us a telephone number, which is very unusual. Usually we don't get a contact number. So
must be from Senator Duncan's comments all during
the session. Yes. This is very important. You'll be hearing from us regarding questions when we read this report in more detail. I have a couple of questions, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
I see that you have implemented reorganization in 15 counties, and you're going to begin the reorganization effort in 14 more counties by November 1. Can you tell us what are some input from the 15 counties that have begun the implementation? Have they made any comments regarding the organization efforts?
Well, Senator Yee and Madam Chair, for me to really answer this, I need to get Bill Fink up here, who's our field manager.
Mm-hmm.
But we are learning from the 15 who are out ahead. Let me say that the schedule that we gave you has 15 counties really fully implementing now. Actually, every county's working on it.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have, we only have so much resources and ability to get out and train. So where we're training people are in the 15 counties. It's pretty early.